Good morning. Well, I was going to speak on something else, but decided to change the subject in keeping with the special occasion. And before I start, I just discovered Ben was talking about the meaning of names. I think Colin, which is often the butt end of jokes, I think it actually means he who is incredibly youthful and blessed. And that's come from my conversation with Lewis earlier. Apparently, a lot of folk are from Southend, is that right? And I was saying to Lewis, I used to work in Southend 25 years ago. And your answer, Lewis, was? That's my lifetime plus 4 years, just to make me feel very young. But I worked with children and adolescents for the mental health service of the NHS then. One of the things that come from my studies working with children is that how incredibly important love is for their development. And so much so that children that are given the physical needs and everything else, but if they're deprived of love, research showed and brain scans show that their brains are very much smaller than people that are children that have received a lot of love. So I'm pretty confident that your children are going to receive lots of love, and with your family as well. But the subject that I had was childlike faith. The Bible doesn't actually talk about childlike faith directly, but more indirectly implied. And I like to read that Matthew 18 verse 5 again, but this is from the Message Bible, and it goes like this. The disciples came to Jesus asking, who gets the highest rank in God's kingdom? For an answer, Jesus called over a child whom he stood in the middle of the room and said, I'm telling you once and for all that unless you return to square one and start over like children, you're not even going to get a look at the kingdom, let alone get in. Whoever becomes simple and elemental, like this child, will rank high in God's kingdom. So what's that actually saying? That you know, unless you become like a child, it's really talking about humility. It's talking about our need to be totally dependent upon God. Now, someone said earlier that, well, God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is love. God is love. And people say, well, no one's seen God. That reminds me of a story of Jesus' disciple Philip asking him. Jesus, he said, if you show us the Father, God the Father, that will satisfy us. And Jesus said, well, don't you know me, Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because the Father is in me and I in him. And the whole point of the message really is that we are invited by God the Father to enter into a deeply loving relationship with him. And he wants to live in us and be our life for us. So I've just, because I've changed the subject of my talk, I've made some bullet points, because I've also been asked to keep it fairly short, which you'll be pleased to know. So what does it mean then, childlike faith? And I've put here, having a strong and trusting relationship with God the Father, similar to how a child trusts their loving parents, as those of us that have been lucky enough to have loving parents. So, after all, I've put here salvation. You know, it says you won't enter into the kingdom unless you become like a child. That doesn't actually mean you won't go into heaven or be with God. What it's actually referring to in this context is that the kingdom refers to the God's presence and his rule in our lives. Not that you won't have the blessing of God in one sense, but we'll miss out by relying on our own strength. So key characteristics, complete trust. What does a child have with their loving parents? Complete trust. And again, I've just put, like a child who trusts their parents. That's the invitation we have with God the Father. through his Son Jesus and by the enabling of his Holy Spirit. This faith involves trusting God's promises and provision. And there's a verse here, Philippians 4:19. My God, says Paul to the Philippian church, my God will supply your every need. And God is saying that to us. God the Father is saying that to us. I will supply. If you trust me, I will supply your every need. In the Old Testament, there's several names for God, and one is Jehovah Jireh, or Hebrew Yireh, and that means the Lord will provide. Another heading I've put here, faith grows, because, well, what is faith? What is faith? You know, how would you define faith? And there's only one verse in the Bible that really gives it a definition, and that's found in Hebrews 11, verse 1. And it says this, now faith is the substantiating of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now there's a danger of confusing faith with presumption, because you can say, oh, I've got this, I've got that, I've got this. But it could be very presumptuous, whereas faith is something that God gives you. It's a deep knowing. It's turning spiritual reality into actual practice. I'll say a little bit more on that in a moment. But faith comes from God. So here's a scripture from Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, says Paul, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So there, he's given us faith. So it's not something you can drum up. It's not something you can struggle to force to happen. So, faith grows. I've said, what is faith? And there's a little scripture in Mark 4:28. It says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. So faith, as you're walking with God, faith grows. Faith comes, Romans 10 verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So as you read the Bible and listen to the word, faith can come that way. Faith is also a gift, 1 Corinthians 12:9. And then there's the faith of God. So if I'm in a situation that requires faith, I can say, I haven't got enough faith to deal with this, but thank God who lives in me, Christ who lives in me, I rely on his faith. So it's a casting, like a child, casting yourself back on that faith of Christ. Well, is there an example of that? I'd like to point you to the life of George Mueller. And George Mueller was born in 1805, at the same time as the Battle of Trafalgar. And he lived until 1898. And he lived a very wayward life until he found Christ as his saviour. And he was called to be a missionary, he thought, but he ended up seeing the plight of orphans, children, in and around Bristol. And he, in simple faith, he trusted God to provide all the needs of these orphans. He opened eventually 5 orphanages in Bristol. The buildings are still there to this day, and there's a museum. Although they're not orphanages anymore, I think they closed in about 1955. But in George Mueller's lifetime, he looked after 10,024, is an exact number, of orphans. But it was quite remarkable, because he never made the needs known. He would just pray to God for them. Food would come in, the means for repairs would come in, and so much so that his fame went abroad, that he was visited by Charles Dickens, who went down to see him to see what this amazing man was doing. But this amazing man would say, it's not me, it's my Father. It's simple faith in him, like a child with a parent. But you can look up the life of George Mueller. If you look on YouTube, don't take my word for it, and it'll tell you about his life and how he looked after these children. Right. Humility and dependence. What does that mean? Well, I've already alluded to it, I suppose. Letting go of self-reliance and embracing a posture of dependence on God. Well, why? Why? Well, you've probably heard the story of Adam and Eve in the garden and a talking snake. It seems totally unrealistic, doesn't it? But what I'd like to sort of suggest is there's a deep meaning in that story, because the Hebrew language in which it was written has various levels of abstraction. So, for example, the word Adam means mankind. The word Eve means living or mother of all living. The word serpent can also be translated as the shining one. And the shining one turns up in Isaiah 14:12, and it's the name for Lucifer, who was an archangel, who most of you know fell and became known as Satan. So you have mankind, the mother of all living, and the shining one. The tree of knowledge of the good of good and evil, and then you've heard the story of the tree of knowledge of life. Now, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what does that mean? It means independence from God, self-reliance, spiritual death. The tree of life represents God's life in humans. And in Revelation 22:2, Jesus is referred to as the tree of life. So you can see that story that seems like a fairy tale has actually a lot of deeper meaning. And the meaning is that we can be invited to partake of the tree of life, which is Christ himself. I've got all these notes here, but I'm going to actually keep it very short and just say simplicity and innocence is another characteristic of a child, and that characteristic is offered to us if we approach Christ and accept him as our Saviour in simplicity and innocence. Matthew 11:28, as I say, is Jesus' invitation to us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast in all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And I think as you move on and you raise the children, as you trust in the Lord, he will bless you. I'm gonna call it a day there, I think. I think that's all I want to say. And there is one more thing, actually. Openness to receive. The Apostle Paul wrote, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. In the Message Bible it says, this resurrection life you receive from God is not timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Daddy? The actual word that Paul uses there, Abba, is Aramaic, and it just means daddy. And that's the relationship you can have with God. Imagine that. Most people think of God as some chap on the throne with a lot of anger towards sinful world. But actually, this message is how you can have a relationship with God as a child does with a small child does with a parent. It's that intimate where you can actually pull the apostle. He's actually saying you can call him daddy. Can you imagine calling God daddy? So God bless you. And may you find that peace, and may you find that humility, and may you find that relationship with the Lord. Amen.